This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Talk with Thabiso Kotane, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Power 98.7.
President Cyril Ramaphosa, you'd remember in his 2021 State of the Nation address, spoke about government's intentions, particularly in the local government sphere, talking about professionalizing the local government sphere, saying that over the years, this sphere of governance has experienced chronic challenges of underperformance characterized by poor financial management, political interference, corruption, poor leadership, adverse audit reports, and weak oversight, among other things. The Public Service Administration then came in through the minister, that is Senzo Mchunu, saying that they have launched the public consultation process on the national implementation framework towards the professionalization of the public service. And this is exactly what we are going to talk about. And of course, we'd like to get your inputs as well. Our guest is Dino Punsami, Chief Director for Strategy and Systems at the Department of Public Service and Administration. Dino, good morning to you and welcome to Power Talk.
Good morning, Thabiso, and good morning to the Power Talk listeners. And thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much. Let's start first with just giving us perspective or context with regards to this particular plan. What does this implementation framework towards professionalizing public service speak to?
Well, part of the work that we're doing, so it's with the National School of Government. I'm with the National School of Government, and together with the portfolios within the Ministry of Public Service and Administration, the Department of Public Service and Administration, the Office of the Public Service Commission, we've been working on a framework towards professionalizing the public service. Of course, this is part of a bigger project towards strengthening state capacity. And so there are other interventions that are taking place within the portfolio. But in as far as this work is concerned, I mean, essentially, we're looking at how we work with the public servants, with the public sector institutions, and how we professionalize the public service. And in this process, we have proposed five key pillars towards professionalizing the public service. Mm-hmm. I mean, essentially, this work has commenced. It's not new work for us. If you go back to the National Development Plan, I think it's quite explicit in as far as the professionalizing of the state, in as far as strengthening particularly technical and specialist skills in the public service. But if you look prior to the National Development Plan, the diagnostic overview that was undertaken by government, we found the need to improve the skills of public servants, particularly because there has been an erosion in the role of the state towards producing skilled professionals. And so this is work that we want to start focusing on through these five pillars that we are proposing. And as we look at supporting the current seven priorities of government in as far as building a capable, ethical, developmental state. So this is work that's part of this process that we're undertaking.
Can you take us through some of these five steps, or in fact, all of these five steps, just to give us a sense
So I think importantly also is to note that when we conceptualize the framework, we focus on three fundamental aspects. Is that the first one deals with professionalism. This is the individual and how, as public servants, we professionalize individuals in their professional conduct, in their values, in their behaviors, and how they carry out. So the constitutional values and principles, as an example, is quite clear on that. The principles of Bhatopili, the Public Service Charter, all of that prescribe the way public servants ought to behave and conduct themselves in a professional manner.
Yeah.
The second part of that aspect deals with the sector, the state as an employer, and how we professionalize, and I'll talk to those five pillars. And lastly, it's about the profession, the discipline that people are functioning in, and how then do we work with, for example, professional bodies to ensure that there's further professionalization of public servants. So in the five pillars that we are proposing as we look at professionalizing the public service, we start with the first, the first pillar, which deals with the recruitment and selection. In fact, we have gone further to suggest that even before a person joins the public service, there's got to be certain pre-entry requirements to be met. Mm. So I'll give you an example, Sabi. So currently, if you are being employed as a senior manager within government, there is a course that has to be done through the National School of Government, which is called NUKELA. It is a pre-entry certificate into the senior management. And that's, you know, sort of one of the tools that we're using to make sure that we're able to recruit people who are competent enough and who do have an understanding of how the public service functions. Within the recruitment and selection itself, of course, there are certain aspects, as you've indicated, we are going through this public consultation process. In fact, as we speak now, there's another consultation that is taking place. We have met with various organizations, institutions, individuals over the past week and a half, just discussing how we can professionalize. And so we do understand that in some areas, there's got to be changes that have to be made. One of the proposals we are making, for example, on the recruitment is how the Office of the Public Service Commission, as an independent constitutional body, plays its role in, for example, the recruitment of directors general and deputy directors general in government. So there's got to be certain changes. We know for senior managers, as an example, there is a competency assessment that has to be done prior to appointment. Our focus is now to say within that competency assessment, how do we also test technical competency so that when we appoint someone, they are technically competent enough to fulfill this function. So, and then the second one deals with induction and onboarding. And of course, that's an important part for us in making sure that those who join the public service, that they do have an understanding of how the public service functions. The workplace orientation is an important part for that. And the next one, of course, is around planning and performance management. So the third pillar is around planning and performance management. How do we put in place effective assessment instruments to make sure that the public servants carry out their functions within which they've been employed to do so?
Yeah.
And then, of course, importantly is the alignment with professional bodies, professional associations, which kind of also acts as a check and balance for the state in the sense that you if you are employed as a public servant and part of that requirement means you must be registered with a professional body, that professional body already holds you accountable as well for the profession that you are in. And we have seen that in the media where this has happened previously, yeah, where professional bodies are taking action against individuals. So that's the kind of thinking around the performance management. So
it sounds fantastic, Dino. But, I mean, all of these elements that you've mentioned, they don't sound like strangers outside of what really exists in terms of expectations within government. Somebody might say, look, they know all of these things. But, as soon as there is money involved, that has to be stolen. Those things are thrown out of the window. As soon as there is an opportunity for somebody with a particular amount of power who can employ their own girlfriend, son, and whatever the case, they will do it. They will manipulate the system to do it. And if you talk about local government as well, I mean, they will tell you that there is SALGA, which has over the years made so many recommendations around that which you've just outlined today, but they get thrown out of the window as soon as the event is over.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I think this is, these are some of the issues that we can't, completely ignore. There are facts around that, the issues around maladministration, the issues around incompetence and fraud and corruption. I think what we are trying to do, I mean, as I've indicated, is it's work within the portfolio. A big part of the work that we're doing actually talks about the kind of legislative reforms that we have to make. And what has emerged quite clearly, Tabiso, in all of the in the public consultations is the issue around accountability and consequence management. And that is important for us to build. And that's why we're saying part of this process of professionalizing has to bring in the issues of accountability and consequence management. But importantly also, it's about the ownership of this. I mean, this document has served before various government structures and has been approved by cabinet. So this has got to have some level of support, for it to be implemented successfully. It is not something that's going to be a quick win for the state in that, in a year's time, if you called me back for an interview, I would have said we would have seen this success. It's a road, it's a journey that we are taking. as we look at the implementation of the NDP. And I think so far from the work that we're doing, we're really starting to, you know, get deeper into these aspects, which will really help us to inform what we take back to cabinet to make proposals around the changes that have to take place.
Yeah.
So, for example, we've dealt with many functional groupings in the built environment, you know, within the legal fraternity, and we come to realize that, you know, the kind of legal reforms are not necessarily related to just public service regulations. There are other pieces of legislation that might actually be hampering the kind of work that we need to do. But importantly also, it's not just about a punitive process, it's a developmental process. How do we bring youth into these processes and allow for them to be able to professionalize as they employ into the state? So it is a lot of work, and I mean, I take your point that, you know, that a lot has been said before, but I think we're just sort of pulling all of this together.
Yeah, because I mean, in all honesty, and I'm sure you know, Dino, that even in the municipal structures on its own, you've got a politician who is sitting there who is a mayor, right? In most cases, a regional leader or whatever the case, who automatically, by virtue of him being a top politician in that region, becomes the mayor. And that's where the power is, because that powerful politician then would influence who should be in what position for strategic purposes, to say these are people that will enable this these nefarious intentions of mine through tenders and all of that. And once these people say do this, that the next person, the CFO, the MM, they know that if they don't do it, then there will be consequences of some sort. Then that whole process of professionalization falls out of the window, because what makes it even worse is the fact that they seem to think that because they are a separate arm of government, no one within the provincial government structure has got leeway to tell them what and what not to do, by and large. So that is why I'm doubtful that this whole project, and I hope it succeeds, but I'm doubtful, because there are realities, political realities on the ground. How do you maneuver around that with regards to your plans?
Well, Tabiso, I'm the eternal optimist, and I would believe that we are going to succeed in this, but there are realities to the situation. There are practicalities to this. We've been at pains in this document to point out that serving in the public service, if you go back to the Constitution, you know, as a public servant, you serve the government of the day and the implementation of its policies. And we've been at pains to explain that as public servants, you really have to remain nonpartisan in the work that you have to do. But again, there are realities, and these are some of the issues that we have to take back. I mean, the point that you're making is part of the input that we're actually receiving into this framework document that we have to take back to cabinet. And as I'm saying, if there is no political and leadership support in this, then it's something that would be doomed to fail. But as far as possible, we are trying to push all of these mechanisms in to make sure that the bureaucracy of the state is functional, is professional, and is insulated actually from the political agenda.
And I'll tell you why I'm raising this issue, because I thought that when you guys said you are professionalizing, particularly local government, you actually mean that you are taking away politicians from positions like mayorships as well, and find somebody qualified, a town planner, an architect, or whoever, or, you know, somebody who understands administration, who can run a city, who can be employed, and this person would be employed irrespective of whether he's a member of the ANC or the DA or whatever the case may be, but on the basis of their professionalism, qualification, and ability to change the makeup of those cities. Does this plan speak to outsiders coming in areas traditionally occupied by politicians to make a contribution? I mean, you remember what had happened during the Mandela era when people from SAB Breweries executives were brought in to try and bring in that which they are doing in the private sector into the public sector. I thought that was the approach.
Well, not necessarily in as far as the politicians or the political office bearers. I mean, the framework largely focuses on the public servants. So for us, what is important is to make sure that we are creating an environment where you have technically competent people who are coming into the system, and those who are in the system get continuously developed. They belong to professional bodies. They are held accountable. That there is consequence management to this process.
Consequence management, key. To what extent does your, because that's what's lacking. You know, that's what encourages people to continue to do wrong things, because they know that there won't be any consequences for their actions. This plan, this professionalization plan, to what extent does it speak to implementing consequence management?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, as I said, you know, if you want to professionalize the public service, you can't do this and not have those levels of checks and balance. I mean, you know, I can indicate to you one of the key institutions that is supporting the work that we're doing on the professionalization is the Office of the Auditor General. As the Auditor General herself, and as you know, as well as the institution, they've been key in making inputs to us and supporting this work. And of course, you know that the Auditor General has powers in terms of the Public Audit Amendment Act, which carries serious consequences if there are repeat findings on the audit process. Our work is to look again at all of the pieces of legislation that carry those issues around consequence management and how it's strengthened into this process. As I'm saying again, you know, it's work that we have commenced, and as we pick up in the conversations, we look at this. There's got to be further recommendations that we will be making to cabinet around this. And certainly, I mean, one of the issues that has emerged, very strongly, is around accountability and consequence management. And we have to find ways in the framework document to strengthen that area as well.
Bhutana Rosebank, good morning.
Tabiso, good morning, and good morning to your guest.
Yep.
You know those five pillars? It's not a groundbreaking strategy. Those are basic things that are supposed to be there in place.
Mm.
You don't have even to negotiate those things. So now you put together a project. What is the last span of this project? It will take another 5 years. Then another 5 years you will try to implement it. Come on, man. Those things, you need to put them in place. Senior managers, they need to account properly. If they don't account, you expel them. Or you proceed with disciplinary procedures. You kick them out. Those are that are stealing. Now you try to professionalize these people. Are going to continue stealing.
That's the point I was making earlier on, Ned, you know?
No, absolutely. And thank you for the comment. I mean, you know, indeed, as I've indicated, this is not, groundbreaking, the areas of our focus. And thank you for the comment, sir. I mean, it is work that we've tried to package, looking at what is within the system. And certainly it's about, looking at how we can implement this. I mean, Tabiso, this work started sometime in March last year. We had comments with this work. And in a year's time, we've been able to, to put out a document. And I think it shows the level of seriousness for us to wanting to get this. I agree completely. If the managers are not doing what they're supposed to do, there has to be consequence management. And we're hoping, as I'm saying, that in the reforms that we have to, in the legislative reforms, we have to find those areas of how to strengthen and how to make sure this happens. We're really trying to push very hard on this document so that it's not something that's going to take us a long time, to implement. We want to get, these consultations end at the end of February. We'll be looking at the inputs. We'll be looking at how to refine further engagements to strengthen with key institutions. We've had, for example, engagements with the National Prosecuting Authority. We've had engagements with the Auditor General, the Public Service Commission. These are all strong institutions that can help us to look at strengthening the issues around consequence management and accountability. But certainly, I mean, it's not a project that we hope is going to take us a long time, to implement. For us, we're really looking at how we speed up on this process.
Yeah, yeah. So is it a campaign that has got is it a program that has got timelines?
You mean in terms of the consultation?
Whatever it is that you need to do up to a point is it a continuous thing that you'll be looking into?
Well, it's a process for now. I mean, we've gazetted the document, the framework document, in December of last year. We've called for public comment up until the 28th of February. There have been lots of inputs that we have received written as well as, during the public consultation processes. For us now is during the month of March to consolidate all of those inputs, look at areas where we need, for example, with certain institutions that we have to, that we have to engage further. For example, the Council for the Built Environment. We've got a lot of work that we have to do. And this is not necessarily just about, the public servants as you see a frontline worker or a senior manager. This covers right across the public sector for people who are in the legal space, in the built environment, in the medical fraternity. So we really, it's a huge project, when you look at this. But for us, it is at least by March to be able to concretize all of these, the inputs that we've received, pick up where the key issues are that we have to strengthen and start that process. So I don't think it's something that's going to be taking us, the next 5 years as such. I mean, it's something that we need to get sooner. It's needed, and we need to get it done.
Thank you so much, sir. Much appreciated. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Thabiso.
There you go. Dino Punsami there from the National School of Government. I mean, I still don't understand it. I don't want to lie to you. I don't know if you do, but I still don't understand it, that people have got to be taught to be professional. People have got to be taught to be responsible with our finances. People have got to be taught batupile and all of those. I just don't understand it. But anyway, who are we? Huh? Thomas, what's going on in the news?
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.